there's an empty seat beside you, that there's not someone sitting there, please raise your hand and then scoot to the middle or do something. Every seat needs to be full. That's very, very important. This weekend, I want you to understand that this weekend is going to be a lot of exercises, and that's the most powerful part of the entire weekend, is some of the exercises you're going to go through as a group. So it's very important on every break that you get back here as quickly as possible. And quite honestly, sometimes at First Steps to Success, we have people that are still holding on to their 98% mentality, and they're hanging out, and they're still talking, and they're taking their time, and they're just not getting back. They're enjoying their social time, and that's okay. Because 98%ers just have a tendency to procrastinate what they need to know. I'm gonna ask you this weekend to walk in that 2% mentality of doing the uncomfortable thing and getting back to your seat in time, because you're designed. How many of you know that you have a purpose in your life? Raise your hand. How many of you don't know how to get to that purpose yet? Raise your hand. Like, you don't know how to get there. The vision's big, but you don't know how to get there. This weekend is about teaching you how to become the person that's able to get there. So I want to say congratulations for being here, because you're the cream off the top. There's a lot of people that came through First Steps to Success, and just to make it a First Steps to Success, you had to be an incredible individual. Think about that for a moment. You think about the thousands and tens of thousands of people that heard about a training event to have better performance on the job, to become a better entrepreneur, to become a better salesperson, a better wife, mom, dad, whatever. But only a small fraction of those people, like a small fraction of those people, less than 2%, less than 1%, made the decision and the investment and the commitment to get the First Steps to Success. How many of you know that's a reality, right? But you're the ones who, of all those people, you took it one step further. So give yourselves a hand for being here. Give yourselves a hand for being unique. You're special. You're called for such a time as this. If you don't hear nothing else, just know if you weren't supposed to be here this weekend, then you wouldn't have made the decision and make the sacrifices to get here. You're exactly where you need to be right now. So pour into this weekend, because it's going to be extraordinary. A couple of quick announcements. Again, the seat that you're in right now is your seat throughout the day today. Your seat that you're in right now is your seat throughout the day today. Everybody should have one of these. Let's read this together, and I want you to understand the importance of this. This right here is a test of your character. This right here is a test of the type of leader you're going to become. Because strong leadership, who wants to follow a leader that has good character? Raise your hand. Who wants to follow a leader that has good integrity? Raise your hand. Who wants to follow a leader who knows how to operate in business appropriately? Raise your hand. This is your test. Are you becoming that leader right here? So let's read this. I, Jackie O'Quinn, understand and agree to the following. Hold up. I'm not doing this all by myself. This is all together. Here we go. Out loud. Remember what I said about 98 and 2%? I'm sorry. I, Jackie O'Quinn, understand and agree to the following, that this seminar is an open seminar, and that there are other people here this weekend, like myself, from their respective companies, that have made a considerable investment in attending this seminar and developing their businesses. I understand and agree that I will honor and respect others in attendance at this event the entire weekend, and I will not represent myself, my company, my business, or DannyJohnson.com in an unethical manner. I understand that while I'm encouraged to make new contacts and friends this weekend, that this event is not a recruiting forum or opportunity to solicit others about my products, businesses, or opportunity. I understand that I am responsible for my own actions and that I'm found dishonoring others or their businesses here this weekend. I will immediately be asked to leave the seminar without refund, and I will not be allowed to attend any future Danny Johnson seminars. Please sign this, date it. Can you tell me? And once you get them signed and dated, please pass them in toward the middle. And we have some volunteers that's going to pick them up. Quickly, please do that quickly. Let me tell you what this is not. This is not, let me see how I can be passive aggressive and violate this. This is not, let me fake your friend so I can attempt to turn you into a customer later. See, that's a low level of leadership. That's not 2%. So be mindful of those who may want to be a 2%er, but they still are struggling in the 98%. So be mindful of those who bring false friendships your way and false connections your way. Always be diligent. You don't have to condemn. You don't have to criticize. You just have to know who you are and keep a boundary there. Encourage them with what they got going on. That's a great business. That's a great product. But I'm honoring where we're at. And you rock the socks off the marketplace with your product and your business and your company. And you let me do the same. And you love me where I'm at, and I'm going to love you where you're at. Isn't that the leader that you want to follow? Let's be that leader. Cell phones. All cell phones. Who has a cell phone? Raise your hand. What am I going to tell you to do with it? I don't even have to tell you. Look at that leadership already. No audio or video recording. The event is being professionally recorded, and an MP3 of the weekend is available. I already talked about group exercises. I want to remind you, do not be late. That is extremely important. There's so much to go through this weekend. You don't want to be late. Also, one of the first things that you're going to notice at creating a dynasty is that Mrs. Danny Johnson is not the only one from stage speaking. And the guests that are brought in, understand, if they share her guests, they're extraordinary individuals. And the guests that are brought in, many of them are very difficult to get hold of. They're difficult to contract in. This particular gentleman that's going to be coming up this morning, and I don't want to dishonor him in any other way, but you need to understand that he's not the type of person that typically makes public appearances. He's not the kind of person that typically comes out and talks in front of a lot of people. He's extremely intelligent. He's one of the strongest academic minds that this world has to offer. Literally, how many of you are Silicon Valley? Raise your hand if you've ever heard the term Silicon Valley. So Silicon Valley is a place I would never get a job. Smart people work there. It's a very technical area. It's where the tech industry lives. This gentleman is incredibly intelligent. Like, he literally taught Silicon Valley what silicone was. Do you know what I'm saying? However, here's what you have to understand. Here's his gifting. His gifting is with his brilliant mind and understanding technology and understanding how the brain works. He understands human minds far better. And he's able to communicate in such a way to you to break down the most complicated concepts in such incredibly simple ways that even someone like me, most of you are more intelligent than me, even someone like me can fully understand. But I'm going to tell you, you want to be sitting in your seats, sitting forward, paying very close attention. And if you never took notes in college, then this is the first time you've ever taken good notes. This would be the time to take notes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to freak him out. I told you he doesn't do this all the time. So I'm going to murder his name, but he comes from a land far away. Mr. Mitsubishi Honda Kawasaki. He's going to be here soon.
Suzuki Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. I come from Japan. Hi. No, you say like this. Hi. One more time. Hi. Okay, little bit practice. Okay. Now, Let me clear my throat. Don't touch my mustache. Ohayou gozaimashita ka. Nodo ga kawakemashita ka. How many, I am here today, I am computer programmer. How many of you know about programming? No, you say, hi. How many in here have been programmed before? Hi. How many of you have programmed before? Hi. What is my name? You forgot my name already. Suzuki Honda Kawasaki Mitsubishi KTM. Come on, say it. Suzuki Honda Kawasaki Mitsubishi KTM. Now, we are here today. We're going to talk about programming. You say, you look funny for a Japanese guy. It's because my father was Japanese, my mom was Norwegian, so you get a white, short, Japanese guy with a beard. That's what happens. How many of you are mixed race in here? Oh, lots of liars in here. We're getting off to a good start. What's my name again? Suzuki Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. Okay, so, how many of you have been programming here before? What's wrong? Some of your arms broken or something? How many of you in here have been programmed before? You should be doing this. Hi. We're going to talk about programming. I need a volunteer because it's very important. Oh, okay. All right. We're going to talk difference. Sit. Go ahead. No, this right here. Where is my computer? Who have computer? No, give me your computer right now. Laptop. Raptop. I need raptop. Oh. Dotashimashita. Ohayou gozaimashita. Yeah, just, you can close it. Oh. Hi. Okay. Now, we do a demonstration. Now this. This computer, we're going to talk about two computers. This computer, this computer. You okay? You want to sit here?
You good? Okay.
All right. Okay, this computer, very difficult to program. Takes a long time. This computer, easy to reprogram. Easy to program. Very easy to program. Happening all the time. Do like this. Okay. This computer have lots of memory. Okay? This computer, we have selective memory. Right? This computer have artificial intelligence. This computer, though, he have access to infinite intelligence. But doesn't use it very often. This computer, very hard to program, but very easy to reprogram. This computer, hard to program, or very easy to program, but very hard to reprogram. That's why you're here this weekend. This is for your reprogramming. Who is here to be reprogrammed? You say, I don't know, I want to raise my hand to that. That sounds a little scary. Your whole life has been scary. It's time for reprogramming. You need to be reprogrammed for success. Hi, that's right. Good job. Hi. This computer right here have hard drive. This computer. Está bien? Okay. No. Anyway, the differences there, you know? This computer, expensive. People spend lots of money. This computer, how much do you spend reprogramming your mind? Every couple years, you buy a new computer. How often you buy a new mind? How often you spend changing the programs? What's the difference between who you are and who you want to be? There's only one difference. Only one. It's the 6 inches between your ears. So, you have to be willing to reprogram and invest, right? How many of you are willing to invest and reprogram? This computer over here have no emotion. This computer, lots of emotion. This computer learn on emotion. This computer programmed by emotion. This computer reprogrammed by emotion. No emotion, no program. Most of you have programs you've been running your whole life from bad emotions. This computer, you can shut it off. This one, never shut off. This one, always running. While you're awake, it's running. While you sleep, it's running. When you think it's not running, it's still running. So this computer right here, always being programmed, 24/7. Now, okay, very good, sir. You have a wonderful... yes, sir. You're wonderful. Thank you very much. You're a good computer. I have much hope for you.
I want to say...
No, I don't know what you say. Go.
I reprogrammed. I'm happy today.
Okay, good job. Okay, give him a hand, please. Very good. Good volunteer. Okay, we're going to do another demonstration now. You ready? You sure? What is my name? Suzuki Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. Okay, you ready for next demonstration? I don't know if you're ready. I don't think you're ready. I don't know if you're ready. Okay, what I'm going to demonstrate to you right now is how powerful your computer is. How many of you know how powerful your computer is? Only one person? How many of you would like to know how powerful your computer is? Okay, Mister, please play your song for me. Oh, what song is this?
There's nothing like the face.
How many of you know this song?
Of a kid eating a Hershey bar.
Oh, only the older people raise their hand.
There's nothing like it you'll ever see. A face as happy as it can be.
Come on, sing along now.
There's nothing like the face of a kid when he's munching on the greatest taste around.
Come on.
Hershey's, the great
who remembers
American
this commercial?
Chocolate bar.
A few of you. Next one, please.
Here we come.
Who's this? Who knows this? What is this one? Monkeys. How does it go?
Everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Everybody now. Okay, next one, please. Who knows this one? Which one is it?
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
We're gonna go through all the politically incorrect commercials right now. Okay, next one goes. No. Sorry, never mind. Hot dogs, skinny kids, fat kids. They're talking about all of them, right? Oh, it's so sad. Too much offense. Okay, go next one. Who knows this one? Green. Seen it? Come on, get louder. Volume's too low. Turn that volume up. Give it up louder. Come on, sing it.
Spreading out so far and wide.
What's wrong? Your
keep
speaker
Manhattan
broken?
Just give me that countryside.
There we go.
New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
The chores.
The stores.
What else?
Fresh air. You are my wife.
Goodbye, sea life.
Green acres, we are there.
Who remembers that one? That was a good one. Oh, the days. Okay, next one.
Meow, 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 meow.
Sing along now.
You know, hold on, just real
quick. Which one is that one from? Definitely not politically correct. I feel sorry for the dogs. Okay, next one. Go.
Here's a story.
Who knows this one?
A lovely lady.
Hey, seen it. Come on.
Who was bringing up three very lovely girls? How them a hair flow? Like their
mother.
The youngest
one. Curls.
It's a story of a lovely lady.
Come on, singing now.
Singing. Yet they were all
alone.
One day when the lady met this fellow. And they knew
they were much more than one.
That this group must somehow form a family. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch. The Brady Bunch.
Okay, you guys did good on that one. Pretty good. All right, next one. Who knows this one? What is it? Come on now. Keep going.
They're creepy and they're spooky. Mysterious and spooky. They're all together spooky. The Addams Family. The house is a museum.
Come on now.
When people come to
see them, nervous,
they really are the
thrill. Are you scared?
The Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
Together with
okay,
the
good one. How many of you lived in an Addams Family? Okay, next one. Who knows this one?
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip.
Trip.
That's
started on
this tropic boy aboard this tiny ship.
The mate was a mighty sailing man, a skipper was. Everybody, come on, sing it. They on a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour.
The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed.
You know, for your own good, you should really get into this right now. I'm telling you.
Would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle. With Gilligan's
in it.
The skipper too. A millionaire and his wife. A movie star. The professor and Mary Ann. Here on Gilligan's Isle.
Okay, good one. Next one.
Here's to good friends.
Who knows this one?
Tonight is kind of special. The beer will pour.
Who knows it?
Must say something more somehow. So tonight,
tonight,
let it be low and proud.
Let it be low and proud.
Okay, next one.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
And they're always glad you came.
You wanna be where you can see. Our troubles are all.
Good job, good job. You next one. Go. Who knows this one? What is it?
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you broke. Your love life's the old way.
Oh, now we're talking.
Oh.
Come on now.
I'll be there for you. Cause you're there for me too.
Okay. One more.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world
a Coke
and keep
me company.
I'd like to teach the world to sing in
perfect harmony.
And I'd like to buy.
Woo! Next one. Who knows this? What is it? What is it? Andy Griffin. Okay, there's no words. Go, next one. But you got the whistling down.
Man.
Who knows this? What happened? What the
woman.
Who knows? Raise your hand if you know.
Birth. Death.
Oh.
Infinity.
You know? What is it? Who knows what that one was?
There's no need to fear.
Oh, what's this?
Underdog is here.
Who's an underdog in here?
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear, and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
Underdog!
Underdog!
Underdog! Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who run.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller plays.
Songs that made my hit parade.
Guys like me, we had it made.
Those were the days.
Didn't who knows what this is?
Everybody
what is it?
G-R-O-S, now rank great. Those were the days.
Okay. And you knew where you were.
Oh,
girls were girls and men were men.
Oh, boy.
Mr. We could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
That sounds fun. Okay, awesome. Good job. Thank you very much. Okay. What's my name? Suzuki Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. Now, many of you, I say congratulations. You do a good job during that participation. How many of you are surprised how many of those old shows and commercials you remember? When was the last time you heard some of them? How many of you have been 10 years, 20 years? 30 years, 40 years. You have a very powerful computer. Very powerful computer. How can your computer hear something 20, 30, 40 years ago and then hear it one time and know the words? And then you come to seminar, you learn script, and then you forget how to ask the closing question. Huh? You forget what to say when prospect asks you. You have a very powerful computer. But your whole life has been programmed and stuffed with meaningless information. You've been trained and taught and programmed to be mediocre. You've been programmed to be a slave, to be weak-minded, to be soft, to avoid pain, to run from problems, to fold when the going gets tough, to take the easy way out, to ask somebody all your questions so they can answer them for you and tell you what to do, just like a good little slave. And a lot of you don't want to hear that right now. How many of you want to be free? What do you think the path to freedom is? How many of you want to be free from the prison of your own mind? Those programs that have been stuffed in your head since before you could walk or talk, that pop up when you make a mistake and tell you, see, idiot, you never do anything right. That when you try your hardest, then that little voice comes up and says, it's not worth it. No matter how hard I try, it's never good enough. That's a program. And I could tell you this one thing. That program is not from your true father.
Amen.
And the path to freedom is not making yourself feel good. The path to freedom is facing the truth head on, because it hurts. What's the difference between who you are and who you want to be? You don't know the right people. You don't have the right education. You don't have the right opportunity. You don't have enough money. You're not motivated. You're this, you're that. And you can list a thousand of those. What is all of that? It's a program. That's what it is. It's a freaking program in your brain. And it's not true unless you believe it is. So, reprogramming starts now, huh? This weekend. Your first event wasn't really reprogramming. Your first event is just to stick a stick in the soil of your brain and stir it up a little bit. Huh? Because no seed will take root in hard ground. So we gotta stir the soil a little bit. We gotta stick a pitchfork in it. Break it up. Break up that hard ground a little bit. You know what? It hurts. But it's the path to freedom. There's no freedom building a fake house on top of hard ground. You have to get to the bedrock. So, what is my name? Come on now, you should be able to have it down by now. Suzuki Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. Come on, I'll give you one last chance. You do it right now. I'm going to count one, two, three, and you're going to say it just like me. One, two, three. Suzuki Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. Okay, with that, I thank you very much. You've been very wonderful in here. I am very excited for you. You're going to have an amazing weekend at Creating the Dynasty. All right. Hi. 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 What is my music? No music. Okay, exit music. Hi. Oh, my music is over. I got to go.
Oh, yeah. So, to dovetail on what Mr. Suzuki, Kawasaki, Mitsubishi, KTM, and a reminder from First Steps to Success. Your mind is like a projector, and you have a screen called life. Images, experiences went in. And what comes out on your screen of life is what goes in to your mind. What goes in will come out. Yes. And what you just saw and learned from the programmer is that you have been programmed. And the proof is images, jingles, songs that you have not heard, some of you in 30 years, some of you 10 years, some of you 5 years. And yet, as soon as it began to play, you knew, some of you even saw the characters from the shows. That's proof in the power of the mind that you were given when you were knitted in your mother's womb. But the question is, what are you using your mind for? And what are you putting into your children's mind? This thing was given to us for a purpose. And the purpose is not just to capture entertainment. It's not just to capture information that is meaningless. And yet 98% of the population lets their life slip right by them by sitting in front of a machine, whether the machine is this big or this big, being programmed for mediocrity. When all along that same mind could have been used as Einstein's mind has been used. That same mind can be used as Steve Jobs' mind was used. That same mind could be used as all the greatest inventors that have ever walked this earth. All the people who have ever brought breakthrough in society and changed the world. The mind could be used in that way, but instead, 2% of the population has figured out how to dumb down 98%. And we have been dumbed down. And we have become a people who want someone else to tell us what to do. Instead of thinking for ourselves and designing our own life, we sit for hours every single day tuning in to something that is programming us for a very unique purpose. And that is to be weak, to be stuck, and to spend. So, what have you put into your head that is showing up on the screen of your life? Your beliefs is what creates your behaviors. Your beliefs create your behaviors. And you have been programmed to believe certain things your entire life. You are currently being programmed to believe certain things. And your beliefs produce actions. Those actions create behaviors. Let me show you how your mind works, because it is such a powerful thing. That truly that whatever goes into your mind, you spit out the results of what you believe. So here's how it starts. It starts with an experience. An experience like your family had a divorce, or an experience like there was a death when you were young. An experience like growing up in poverty. An experience like growing up in abuse. All of these things. And or you grew up in the Leave It to Beaver household. These experiences create your reality. Whether or not it is the reality is a whole nother story. But it creates a reality for you. Now, you might ask, what in the world does this have to do with me building wealth? What does this have to do with me being in leadership? What does this have to do with me trying to lead my family better? It has everything to do with everything that you are. Because as a man or woman thinks, so is he. As a man or woman thinks, so is he. And out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. What your mouth speaks, your feet follow. So some of us reach high levels of success. Some of us reach really low levels of success. And that has everything to do with what is in our mind. What was put there and what we submitted to. What we agreed to. So from the experience, after the experience comes agreement. Whether or not you agree with the experience, what type of agreements you make with the experience. Like, for example, how many have ever been hurt by somebody? Well, if you've been hurt by a man or a woman, an agreement can be you can't trust them. People aren't trustworthy. I don't trust women because these three hurt me. I don't trust men because these three abandoned me. So now we create a pattern of belief systems that now create our own reality that simply just support what we choose to believe. So it goes from an experience to make an agreement with that experience. Then comes a belief. What follows your belief is a behavior. And the behavior simply just recreates the same experience all over again. This is how the mind works. It's very, very powerful. There's an experience. You agree with the experience or you disagree. You gather some kind of perception from that experience. You form a belief system, and out of your beliefs, you act, you behave. The behavior creates the cycle. So for some, there are patterns in our life of repeated financial failures. How many of you have had repeated financial failures? Okay. Repeated financial failures simply come from a belief system, from an experience, and agreements that you made with finances. Whether it is that money is hard to come by, I never seem to have enough, it's just too hard. Or that you are a victim of financial circumstances, always getting screwed over financially. But in all reality, we create behaviors based on our beliefs. Our behaviors act according to what we believe. So if we believe that money is too hard to come by, well, then certainly we behave like somebody who money is always going to be hard to come to them. If we believe that we're stupid, well, then we behave like someone who is stupid. So then the experiences that you have are what? Stupid. Just to prove to you that you are stupid. Does that make sense? So the only way to change your behavior is not necessarily to change your beliefs, but to go through a new experience. And that's what creating a dynasty is all about. A lot of people try to change their behavior. That's human manipulation. Have fun with that. Until you get to the core, which is going back to the original experiences that you had, until you go to the experience, the beliefs will never change. Most of us walk through life not even knowing what we believe. So we're going to go through an exercise. Right now, can you pass out the programmer, the what we've been programmed to believe form, please? Our volunteers have a list. And as you go through the sheet, there's two sides to this. The first side is the one that I want you to pay attention to, and that is, what do I believe? What I've been programmed to believe. And it's going to ask you questions about what you've been programmed to believe about yourself, what you've been programmed to believe about business, money, people, men, women, God, religion, politics. Everything that you are today, whether you believe it or not, is really just a combination of other people's beliefs, a combination of other people's opinions, what other people have poured into you, what other people have taught you, and you carry a certain piece of everything that they have said. So I want you to fill out the form, the first side that simply says, what have I been programmed to believe? And then it gives you a list. The second side says, what do I choose? I do not want you to pay attention to the second side right now. We'll do that one later. So go ahead and start with this, and I want you to write down, what are your beliefs concerning each one of these topics? What do I believe? What have you been programmed to believe about yourself, money, marriage? And I want you to write down what that is. Because it's out of your beliefs that you create your own reality. There's another thing that beliefs do. They produce emotions. Your emotions come out of your beliefs. Emotions of fear, guilt, shame. Emotions of anxiety, worry, being uneasy, regret. Those come out of your beliefs. And they lead you every single day. Every day you make decisions out of your emotions. Emotions that are built on your beliefs. Some of which those beliefs are not true. They're not truths. They're just beliefs. And feelings and emotions are just that. They're not right and they're not wrong. They're just feelings. Yet out of our feelings, out of our emotions, we make big, huge decisions on marriage, whether or not to have kids. We make decisions on whether or not to create wealth, whether or not to stick it out in a business or a job. Out of these emotions, we abandon our families or we cling to them. Out of those emotions, we isolate or we congregate. Emotions drive everything we do in life. They drive some people to drink, some to pornography, some to shopping, some to sex. Emotions ruling your life. Built on beliefs, they're not even built on truth. Reacting instead of responding. So what I want you to do now is, based on all of those beliefs, what you believe about each one of these subjects, I want you to circle the five most non-beneficial beliefs that you have that are not serving you, that are not helping you get to where you want to go. Circle the top five that you can see are hindering your current set of circumstances, your relationships at home, your relationships at work, your relationship with yourself, you know, the relationship with your physical body, and your finances, and your future. Circle of five. They're not helpful and beneficial. They will not help you get to where you want to go. So you've circled the five. I want you to give each one of them one word, one emotion that it represents. For example, I used to have a belief about people that you can't trust them, that they just seem to stab you in the back and they don't follow through with their word. That was my belief about people. And I got into the people business 28 years ago. And I was told by my first mentor that in order to succeed in life, that I'd have to learn how to love people. I hated people. So my belief about people that they're not trustworthy was certainly not going to help me get to where I wanted to go, which at that time was to millions of dollars. I was young and foolish and greedy, thinking that money was going to give me somehow peace of mind, make me feel good about myself. Oh, I was wrong, completely wrong. It tormented me more than when I didn't have it. But the one emotion that one belief produced was fear. So what are the five things you circled, and what emotion is attached? One word. Is it distrust? Is it uneasy? Is it fear? Anxiety? Just write one word next to that one belief that is producing that one emotion. The beliefs that you have and the decisions that you make you pass down to your next generation. And you also pass them down to your coworkers, your clients, because it's how you represent yourself. What happens with your beliefs is you then begin to wear labels. Not wanted. Stupid. Shameful and guilty. You're a bad boy. Inadequate. Embarrassing. Unlovable. Thief. Selfish. Bad wife. Dumb. Failure. Jackie, come here. Useless. Diane, come here. You want too much attention. Jealous. Liar. Ugly. Bad father. Fat. Bad girl. Annoying. Slow. Whore. Dumb. Afraid. Neglected. Sissy. Wimp. Evil. Insignificant. What labels are you wearing? Arrogant. Tramp. Controller. Your beliefs produce labels that you wear. And then you put them on other people. And then they wear them. And then they put them on other people. Go ahead, go take your labels and start putting them out there. Go. So what labels are you wearing? What labels have been put on you? What labels have you sold? Have you sold the label that you're stupid? Have you sold the label that you have ADHD? Have you taken on the label that you're bipolar? Have you taken on the label that no one wants you? Have you taken on the label that it's just too hard and you're not good enough and not smart enough? What labels have you taken on? What labels have you chosen to wear, to stick on yourself, and to live out? And what labels have you put on other people? Because it's out of those labels that you live your life. I wore many. Adulteress. Poor, stupid, failure, loser, bad mom, bad person. Made too many mistakes. You can never make up for it.
hopeless, worthless, useless. And then we try to go succeed in life wearing those labels. Are you wearing the label of blame? That everyone else is to blame for who you are or who you're not? For where you're not? And that would include blaming yourself. Blaming yourself. Holding yourself up on a crucifixion. What labels are you living with? And what labels have you put on others? I find it so interesting that we're really good at memorizing movie lines. But can anyone recite to me Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 20? Do you even know what it's about? It's the Ten Commandments. We can memorize songs, but not scripts that would help us to succeed in our businesses, but instead we say we're afraid. This mind that is so powerful, that lives out exactly what you tell it to do. Here at Creating a Dynasty, starting right now this morning, you're going to dig deep on what these beliefs are so you can create the dynasty you want to live instead of somebody else's dynasty that has been given to you. That you can make the choice that whatever tape it is that you've put inside the projector of your own mind, that you can rebuke and reject that tape and put in a brand new tape that creates brand new behaviors. Because how many of you would agree that you have lived labels that you don't want to live anymore? And that you have chosen to perpetuate what others have put on you instead of what the one has said about you, that you are awesomely and wonderfully made. Man is flawed, and that's what he is always going to be, forever. So if we base our opinions of ourselves based on the perceptions of other people, or how we think, or what we thought they said about us, or what they meant about us, our lives are always going to be less than what you were supposed to be. So out of these beliefs, let's analyze our behaviors. What behaviors have come out of our beliefs? Please pass out the form, how to get others to like you and how to get others to hate you. Team that is passing out the forms. I see it. On this sheet of paper, I want you to be as honest as you possibly can. And I want you to evaluate yourself. You see, at First Steps to Success, we talked a lot about what is on these two lists of paper. This is a double-sided sheet. I want you to first start with the side that says how to get others to like you. Throughout the entire 3 days that we spent together at First Steps to Success, whether that was 4 weeks ago and here in this room, or it was in Dallas in March or April, March, it was my birthday, January in Orlando, or if it was last year, or if you haven't been home for 10 years, that this is your first time back in 10 years here at Creating a Dynasty. We went through a lot of training about how to get others to like you, and also we trained you on things that you do that causes people to reject you. Now you're going to evaluate yourself. You learned some new skills. Did you go home and watch TV instead of put them into practice? Did you go home and spend hours a day on social media instead of putting them into practice? Did you come to the event with your popcorn, your trail mix, your candy bars, and all of your natural wholesome snacks and ate through the entire event because you thought this was a movie instead of a training? Because there's often times when I'm on the stage where it kind of sounds like I'm in a movie because of all the snacks that are being eaten. I'm not kidding you. Right away, first thing, here, opening up. It's been 2 hours since you ate last. I think you're going to be fine. I'm not kidding you. This is not entertainment. This is training. So now you evaluate yourself to see, wow, I came here, I invested into myself. What did I learn? What did I apply? I say that I want a better future. I say that I want a better life. I say I want a better marriage. I say I want to be a better parent. But what have I done with what I've said? So go ahead and click the boxes that apply to you. Go through the list. And basically, it's not only the boxes, but it is also that you're evaluating yourself. So here's what I want you to do with your sheet. And this is, if Jen can hear me right now, I don't know if she's anywhere. I have it written down, never mind. So you see how it has a blank dash before, for example, sincerely appreciate others, right? So you're going to judge yourself. 3, you frequently sincerely appreciate others. 2, sometimes. 1, hardly ever. But what I would like for you to do is this. I want you to make a line, perhaps down the middle of those dashes. I want you to create 1 for career, 1 for family. So 2 columns, and I want you to judge yourself based on both. So you know how it has a dash? Do you see this? Right, and it says, sincerely appreciate others. I'm going to leave it right there. What I want you to do is draw a line and create another dash. This column is family. This column is career. We humans have a tendency, when we're in a lower level of leadership, we have a tendency of treating our family with higher level, treating our coworkers with higher level of skills, of honor, of respect, of keeping our word, and we do far less to our spouses and our children and our family members. This is a low level of leadership, and this is called manipulation. That's manipulation. That's hypocritical. That who gets our best are the ones who pay us, which means we're a slave. Versus who should get our best is who? The people we live with. The people we live with is who we should honor the best, who we should have the most mercy and grace and genuine interest in, not just the people that we work with. So please go through the list and judge yourself on both places, both family and career. Go line by line. When you're done with the first page, turn it over and do the same exact thing on your second page. As you can see on the bottom of that sheet, it says, what 3 areas am I strongest in? You want to write those 3 down and use this as the guide. This is a pretty good exhausted list on how to get people to love you. And the other side is a great way of how to get people to hate you. And money comes from, where does it come from? So this is pretty easy formula, don't you think? Whether or not you're getting promoted in your career is determined by which page you decide to live on here. Do you understand? It's a simple recipe for success. If it was something that you read every day. But again, we can recite baseball stats, golfing stats. We know what the celebrities are wearing, but we cannot remember the list of how to get others to like us. We can't remember to pull out this piece of paper every day and go, okay, today when I go to work, I'm going to work on sincerely appreciating others. Today at home, I'm going to work on sincerely appreciating my spouse, my parents, my kids. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are in control of the results that we get, and we are in control of our own behaviors, our actions, the words that come from our mouths. And this is a really simple list. So it's really about prioritizing. And when our beliefs are that we're not good enough, we will never put in the effort to succeeding. Ever. Why? Because we're not good enough. When we believe we're stupid, we will never put in the effort of following directions and simple formulas that bring great success, that are proven success. We'll never do that because we will always instead do the opposite side of the paper because we believe that we should be rejected because we are stupid. Do you understand? But the only way to change your behaviors is not by reciting something 1,000 times. It's by a new experience, and it's also what we're going to do here in a minute. But write those things down. What are 3 areas that I'm strongest in? It's important to celebrate what it is that you're good at. And then what are the areas that you need the most work in that's going to have the greatest impact on your life? Only you know the answer to that question, because only you know how you live out your life. And don't be afraid of your weaknesses. A fool ignores their weaknesses. You have to learn how to work with those weaknesses and around those weaknesses. Ignoring your weaknesses is not going to bring you to high levels of success or high levels of leadership. Acknowledging what they are, not allowing your emotions to get all torn up about them, but acknowledging, all right, I suck in these areas. What am I going to do to fix that? In some cases, it is hire someone else that is not, that doesn't suck in that same area, and really treat that person well. And usually it's your spouse that doesn't have the same weaknesses that you do. It's usually how it is. Why? Because we were put together to complement each other. So when you can recognize that that is a purpose, that, hey, these are my weaknesses and my spouse is totally complementary of my weaknesses, and you celebrate what they're really, really good at instead of trying to change them. But let them carry out their role, you carry out yours. Now this is called teamwork. That's leadership. So who needs more time? If you've gone through evaluating your list, who needs more time? Who's on page 1? Who's on page 2? Okay. So we're going to take a 10-minute break. If you're not done, stay there. Keep writing. Everyone else that's taking a break, please just be quiet. Exit the room if you need to. Please don't chatter up the room so the people that are still working on that sheet can continue to work on that sheet. 10 minutes. Okay. Now, I hope you took your break. If you did, I hope you finished your sheet. If you did, there's something really powerful about writing down your thoughts and processing on paper. And there's something very powerful about asking yourself these questions. Because the reality is that we really have been in a society that has fed you so much information that we have learned not to think for ourselves or even to know what is inside of us and what our wants, our needs, and our desires are. The best success book ever written says, "The heart is deceitful above all else." Scares the snot out of me. Really does. The heart is deceitful above all else, and yet we make it a point to argue our character. We make it a part to defend ourselves. But the heart is deceitful above all else. We use 10% of our brain, and yet we argue that we were there and we saw all that there was to see and heard all that there was to hear, but we only use 10% of our brain. There's multiple different facets of any conversation that happens between two individuals. And every single experience has multiple different layers of realities based on who all was there. And yet we love to cling, dig our heels in the ground, and prove that we saw the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The fact is, that is a lie. That is a lie. And if you want to work yourself into a higher level of leadership and you're wanting to have healing and wholeness and restoration in your family and you're wanting to achieve true happiness in your life, the path to get there is much different than, let's say, what I thought in the beginning when I started off on this journey 28 years ago. I thought that the answer to happiness was making lots of money, that if I had lots of money and I drove a nice car, then certainly I'd be so happy, right? How many of you had a thing that you had to achieve in order to be happy? Okay, so that's because of the programming that we had through our childhood, whether the programming was through the radio, television, books that we read, or from school. All the programming that we submitted ourselves to for 8 hours a day through the schooling process, that's all programming in 14,000 hours of schooling that was poured into us if we only stopped at the 12th grade. So We already, let's recap what we've talked about so far. Number one, how many of you realize you have been programmed? And how many of you, it would be safe to say that you largely have been programmed for 98%. You may have had moments here and there through different examples from different people, or maybe a few books that you read or a couple seminars that you went to, that maybe a little bit of 2% has been programmed into you as well. At First Steps to Success, you learned in the morning session that you were designed to succeed. When you were knitted together in your mother's womb, you were given everything that was necessary for you to succeed. However, as soon as you came out of the womb, you had two parents who loved and adored you, who were so excited to have you, or they were not. That is a reality, right? Or they were not. I come from the were not category. Maybe you came from the, oh, you know, we were so excited to have our kids. However, I was not exactly what my mom wanted. Thus, I'm the abortion that lived. I'm the abortion that lived. So no matter how you were designed, it's about getting back to that original design and cutting through what? The programming that created experiences, that created what? Agreements that you made that then created what? Beliefs, and the beliefs produce what? Our behaviors. All right, you just finished analyzing some of your behaviors. How many of you are not happy with all of your behavior? Look around the room. None of us are happy with all of our behaviors, right? So we have two choices. We can cry and whine about it, or we can get past our past. We can get past what our current beliefs are, and that's completely up to us. The proof of the power of programming is that you remembered what the programmer presented to you this morning. So we know that. How many of you realize you have a powerful mind? You have a powerful mind. You can create great things, or you can destroy things with your powerful mind. So I want to take you one step further in learning how and putting tools in your hand for you to learn how do I correct my belief system? How do I reprogram myself? How many of you want to know how to do that? Because you know that your current financial situation, your current relationship, quality of the relationship, whether or not you've got harmony and peace in the home, it doesn't mean that there's not some disagreements. It doesn't mean that there's not challenges. It doesn't mean that there isn't a crisis that still comes into the home or crisis that comes into the business. What matters is how you handle these things. That's what matters. And that's what determines whether or not you succeed, is in how you manage and how you handle the circumstances that are presented to you. That's the difference between 98 and 2%. 98% reacts and overreacts, blames everybody, pointing the finger all over the place, right? And rehearses, nurses, and curses their label. And rehearses, nurses, and curses other people's labels. Okay? See, I told you I'm an idiot, and he is a bully. Do you understand? So, see, it's because of our new president is why I lost my job. No, fool, if there was a tape of the last year of your life on how you worked in your job, let me tell you something. There's one thing that's going to change our economy. It's business growth. How do we get to business growth? Whose job is it to grow a business? Whether you're the employee or the owner. People grow businesses. It's up to the employees and the owner to grow the establishment, to grow the organization. It's not just the owner's job. The owner cannot do it by themselves. The owner needs the employees, so they take a risk on employing other people. But it's up to the employee to do the job and more than the job that is expected and required of them if they want to grow, if they want to get promoted, if they want to get to a bigger goal. Does that make sense? So the question is, why do we not? How do we change this? How many of you say, this is a problem? Yeah. This is a problem. How do I fix this problem? Okay? So what I'm about to show you is really, really important. I used to dance around this issue a lot, and I used to try to just like scratch the surface of it and just, you know, hope that someone got what it was that I was talking about. But I found myself in my life that I had patterns in my life. I had patterns that just continuously happened, whether they were financial patterns, they were health patterns, they were relationship patterns. I keep repeating the same cycle over and over again, and I found a way for there to be breakthrough to happen in it. This morning, we're going to handle part of it. Tonight, we handle the rest of it. So we're going to scratch the surface here this morning, but later tonight at 7 o'clock, and it's not open to the general public, that's when we'll actually do the physical work of digging some of this stuff out. Now, let's pretend that your head is like potting soil, okay? And seed has been planted inside of you, and you are the result, and your life is the result of seed that has been planted inside of you, right? And you heard at First Steps the law of reaping and sowing, right? Okay, so when a seed goes into the soil, two things happen. A root system is created and then a sprout. The sprout then eventually, if it is nourished, if it is protected, then it turns into a tree, okay? The power of a seed has the ability to reproduce itself all by itself. It has the power within itself to reproduce itself. And it reproduces exactly what it is. Doesn't reproduce anything different than what it already is. Exactly what it is, it's exactly what it produces. So, if you have an apple tree, okay, if you have an apple seed, what is the difference between the seed and the tree? Time. The only difference between the seed and the tree is just time. Every single day you are planting seed, and words are seed. Words are seed. Just as the labels that you put on yourself, what you speak about yourself, bad girl, bad boy, stupid, idiot, whore, okay? Whatever it is, lazy, you have no talent, ADHD, bipolar, PTSD, whatever the label is that society today has more labels than before. There's like 100 different forms of retardation in people today. I mean, there is a condition for everything. There's a condition for everything. I mean, there is a label for everything today, and people just find their label and they put it on and they wear it all day. And then they act out exactly what it is that the label says. Okay, well, that's because seed has been planted, something's been spoken, you've received it, you've experienced it, you've agreed with it. Out of that produces fruit. So what I want you to do now is you're going to analyze the fruit that's in your life. The only way to change your behavior is to follow the fruit that's on your tree in your life. You have to follow the fruit down to the root system because this is where it lives. This is actually where it was created. And you can't change your behaviors until you change the experience. So we're going to find the fruit, follow the fruit to the root system. Then you kill the root system. And then you plant new seed. Does this make sense? This is the same exact way of how you've learned to believe what you believe today. Some of those beliefs are good. How many of you have some good beliefs? They've served you well. They're going to help you get to where you want to go. And how many of you have some beliefs that suck? They're hurting you. They're leading you to poverty. They're leading you maybe to laziness, procrastination, to fear, to worry, to anxiety, right? They're causing maybe you to isolate yourself. They're causing you to mistreat your coworkers, mistreat your family members, all right? Because you're in control of you. You're in control of what comes out of your mouth. You're in control with what you do with your time. Okay, I want you to say this with me. I am in control of my mouth, my actions, and my time, and my money. No one's at fault. I didn't hear you. But you're in control of what you do. Now, my wife is. No, if your wife is, it's because you gave it to her, which means you are in control still. You're in control of what you do with your time, your life, your money. You're in control. No, my body is. No, you are in control. If something's wrong with your body, who's in control of fixing it? Well, I can't fix this. Shut up. I know of a man who has no arms and no legs, who's making millions of dollars with his mouth. No arms, no legs. I know of another man who has a disease where his bones deteriorate daily. Daily, the guy travels all over the world and speaks and inspires people. Stop buying into your lame excuses. Your excuses are birthed out of your belief system. Your excuses are birthed out of your belief system, and excuses are habits. Excuses, if that's what's on your tree, We got to follow the fruit to the root. So let's talk about what's on your tree. So you just looked at a sheet of how to be liked by others, how to be hated by others, okay? You found the three areas that you're the strongest in, and you found some areas that you need to work on, right? You found some emotions that you seem to be making decisions out of, right? Based on your beliefs, you found some emotions. How many of you find that you're living in those emotions quite often throughout the day, right? So you saw, you proved to yourself that those emotions are tied to your beliefs. Let's change it. Let's turn it into something that we want it to be. And let's start today. Let's start now. So what's on your tree? Let's look. Let's pass out the finding your fruit sheet. I'm going to give you a list of scenarios. I want you to check the box that you feel applies to you. And I'm going to show you how to find where it came from and how to fix it, how to kill it, so that it doesn't keep reproducing itself. Because watch this, friend. When fruit grows on a tree, and if it is not picked during harvest time, what happens? It falls to the ground, and then what happens? It rots, and then what happens? It dies, but what happens to the seed that's inside the fruit? It germinates. The rottenness of the fruit actually fertilizes the seed. The seed penetrates the soil, and then what happens? You have a whole nother process again. You get more growth all over again, okay? What people try to do when they're trying to change their behaviors, that's pruning a tree. Do you know what pruning does? Pruning creates more growth. Pruning doesn't get rid of anything. Pruning creates more growth. How many of you have tried to stop a bad behavior? Let me see that hand again. How many of you have tried to stop a bad behavior? And how many of you have found that it has been a futile attempt to try to stop a bad behavior? And how many of you have tried to stop a bad behavior again and again and again? Okay, so this is pruning. And how many of you have found that every time you've tried to stop the bad behavior, you just get more of the bad behavior? Okay, that's because you're not going to the root issue. Because you're trying to cut off the bad behavior. It's like this, okay, I'm going to not be afraid. I'm going to not be depressed anymore. And you're more afraid and you're more depressed, right? Okay, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to make more calls today. I'm going to stick to the script today. I'm gonna practice War on Debt today. Today is the day that I'm going to do it. And there you are at Walmart filling up the cart with a bunch of crap. Click add to cart at Amazon.com, Prime, bam, 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 bam. Who has found yourself doing these things? Okay. Because if you try to just prune your behaviors, all that's going to happen is you're going to get much, much more of the same behavior. So the only way to fix it that I know of personally through my experience of how in the world am I not dead based on my past is I followed the fruit. I identified the fruit. I identified those places in my life where those weaknesses were, and I followed those belief systems all the way down to the root system, identified where they came from. So with this list right here in front of you, I want you to check every box that you feel applies to you. And be as honest as you possibly can. Can I ask you a question? Everybody close your eyes. Do not open your eyes, please. I want everyone's, this one belief to be protected. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. How many of you are a believer in the Bible? Okay. How many of you are a believer in the Messiah? That he came, he died, he rose. Okay. How many of you are not? All right, awesome. Okay, cool. You can open your eyes. It's awesome. Regardless if you are or not, because of the ratio of R's, I'm going to speak freely in the R's category. For the R-nots, I honor you, and I understand where you're coming from, and I want you to know that these are principles that apply no matter what you believe in.
Okay? So all success book, all success principles have come out of that success book. So I'm going to be a bit more transparent about that book. This is not church. I am not a preacher. I'm not a prophet. I'm not an evangelist. And I don't have a business card that says I am either. That is not my profession. I am a wife to Mr. Hans Johnson. I am a mother to 5 beautiful plus another one kids. I am a grandmother of 8. I am a businesswoman. And there is a book that I have drawn wisdom from that has taught me how to succeed in all those areas of my life and how to manage problems and how to manage circumstances. So I'm going to teach from that place, okay? And we, those of us who believe in that book, you have all kinds of denominations that are in this room. I am not representing any of those denominations, okay? Denominations are divisions, I believe, created by man. The book itself was designed to help you to succeed. And that's the basic, simplistic place that we're going to build on for the weekend. So on that note, I want you to look at your fruit. And I want you to analyze yourself again. The heart is deceitful above all else. So for those of you who are believers and you have a relationship with your Creator, I encourage you now, and if those of you that don't, but you have a relationship with the universe, go ahead and ask the universe. Whatever it is that your belief is, go there. But for those of you who believe in the greatest success book ever written, this is a good time through every one of these exercises for you not to depend on your own mind, but you to say, Father, show me. Shine your light and show me where my fruit is. Expose the places that are truly hindering me. Expose the places and the things that have got me by the throat, that are creating the frustration in my life, the things that are driving me crazy, the things that are causing me maybe to want to just go back to bed. Ask Him, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, to expose those very places. What I want to have happen in these next 3 days is that you walk out of here with a dependence of not on yourself, but a dependence of really knowing Him and Him truly being your guide, not me and not any man and not even yourself. But that you're a vessel that's here for a purpose. And I don't know what that purpose is, but He does. So you ask Him, show me the areas that are tripping me up. Show me my fruit. And guess what? You're safe with that question. He doesn't condemn. He's a lifter of your face. He doesn't condemn. Oh, He will convict your heart. Because whatever is on this list that needs to change is because He's saying clearly, you're my child. I believe in you. I believe in you. I have the best for you. And if these are the things that are hindering you, wouldn't you want to know what's choking you? Wouldn't you want to know what's tripping you? Wouldn't you want to know the weaknesses that you have that are hurting you and hurting others? Yes. Why would you want to continue to repeat the same cycle again and again and again? So go ahead and go through the list. How many of you checked a lot of things on that list? And how many of you didn't have a lot of things to check on that list? This is something to consider. If you found that you, oftentimes when people haven't checked a lot of things on that list, there's self-deception and pride involved of not knowing the error of your own ways. If you have checked a lot of things on that box, there's another spirit, if you will, that's involved, and that is self-condemnation. I believe that the Creator would never expose all of it to you at once. But as a good father, little by little, the most important things that need to be dealt with. And not all day and not every day reminding you of your failures. But there is one
that will fire arrows at you all day, every day, even in your sleep. I know that one very well, and he's a liar. But just as you, as a parent who love your children, yes, I know you fall and fail from time to time, and maybe you get down on your kids more than you should sometimes. Usually when you're feeling bad about yourself is usually when you do that. But all in all, it's not your heart. The heart of a good father is one that little by little will pick just a couple of things to help to correct and guide. So self-condemnation, if you checked a lot of things on there, self-condemnation is fruit on your tree. It's fruit in your life. And when you carry self-condemnation, you have a tendency of being condemning of others as well. Whether you verbalize it or not, your mind is going for it, criticizing others and criticizing yourself. I want you to write down this question and give me an answer to it. How many of you are married? Let me see what you got. How many of you are not? It's like the same hands went up both times. If you are married, I want you to write down, what would help me feel stronger in the areas of my marriage? What would help me feel stronger in the area of marriage? If you're not married, and you want to be, it's a good question to ask yourself of what would help me feel stronger about getting married. Go ahead and write that question down and answer it. What would help me feel stronger in the area of marriage? Here's another question. If you have kids, what would help me feel stronger as a parent? There's a reason why I'm asking you this. You filled out a form. Some of you filled out a form. We sent you your survey to fill out coming into creating a dynasty. And we said, if you're married on a scale of 1 to 3, 1 being weak, 3 being strong, how would you rate your marriage? Most people rated their marriage mediocre. There's a few who said it was weak. There were a couple that said it was strong, but the vast majority are like, so-so. Is so-so okay? It's 98%. Same with the parenting, same thing. Some were weak, a few were strong, most were, I'm pretty good, it's all right. Is that acceptable? Is that what you want? So now I have the third question. What will help you to feel stronger in your career life, your work life? What will help you feel stronger? And there's three areas. Now, if you don't have kids, you don't have to answer that second question. But you can ask a question about relationships. You know about the relationships in your life that are stressing you out, right? So what will help you feel stronger in those areas? Your answer is going to tell you something. It's going to reveal something to you. I'm going to expose something in your answer. If your answer had anything to do with anyone else but you, if your answer had anything to do with anyone else but you, meaning, what would help me feel better in my marriage? Well, if my husband would, if my wife would, you're a victim of circumstance. And that's blame. You are putting your ability to be confident and happy onto someone else. And they can't carry that burden. It's not their job. But it is between you and him. Well, if my kids would act right, if they would obey, if they would get better grades, if they turn out good, you are now putting that pressure of your feelings, your identity on them. Same with your business or your career. Well, if my boss would, if your answers have anything to do with anyone else besides you, you are playing the victim card, and victims manipulate. You're shifting blame and responsibility on someone else. We're going to say it together again. I am responsible for what comes out of my mouth, my actions, and my money. Friend, it's not anybody else's job. You're in control of your life. So, manipulation might be on your tree. Victim, blame, fear might be on your tree, as it has been on mine as well. So let's follow the fruit to the root. How many of you have a tendency of blaming other people? Let me see those hands up high. How many of your answers to any one of those questions had to do with someone else? No one else is going to make you successful. And no one else is going to make you happy. No one. No one. That is whose job? Your job. Because you're in control of your thoughts, your words, your actions. You're in control of those things. So responsibility shifting onto someone else creates pressure, hatred, resentment, malice, even jealousy. Fruit on a tree. All of those things help you to feel very unsettled, unsure, and fearful. I remember what I said before, fearful people are easy to control, really easy to manipulate. Fearful people are easy to manipulate and easy to control. So who here battles with fear? You're afraid of the future, you're afraid of failing, afraid of success, afraid of screwing up, afraid of making big, horrible mistakes, afraid of not knowing how to do what you'll need to do when you get wherever there is, right? Afraid of getting old, afraid of pain, afraid of missing it, afraid of missing out. Who here, it's your first time and you battle with fear? Fear seems to be something that you carry with you. You put it on every day. You clothe yourself with that fear. White shirt, blue tie. Come with me. That would be you. I'm Danny.
I'm Jake.
Nice to meet you. So, Jake, we're going to just use you as an example. Okay? So, everyone has the same stuff. So tell me. You're afraid. What are you afraid of?
Meeting my parents' standards.
That's a good one. That's a real good one. Why?
Just don't want to fail.
So the first question is, what? And that's the question you ask yourself. That if fear, no matter what fruit is on your tree, right, you're going to ask yourself, okay, if fear is on the tree, what am I afraid of? His was expectations. Right? Mm-hmm. Parents' expectations. And why are you afraid? Next question. Why? Why am I afraid of my parents' expectations?
Because two of them believe in two different routes with jobs. And one believes in you can do anything you put your mind to. And one believes in sustainability with a job. So
why are you afraid of your parents' expectations? Not meeting their expectations, not meeting their standards. Wait, that would be not pleasing them. Yeah. Why?
Because I have to pick a route.
So why are you afraid?
Failing one.
What happens if you fail one?
No. Mm-hmm.
So the unknown?
Yeah.
What if you did know? What would the answer be?
If I didn't know what?
If you did know the answer, what would the answer be? But if you did know, like if you said that if I fail one, I asked you, what if you fail one? What's the outcome?
I would have to go down a certain path if I picked one, and if I failed the other. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying, but what's the outcome if you fail one of your parents?
Nothing, I guess. There's no outcome. I mean,
they're going to hate you?
No, they still love me.
Oh. Are you afraid of being wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And there might be one of them that tells you you were wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're afraid of being wrong. Mm-hmm. Do you like to argue?
Depends who it is.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Do you like to argue?
Yes.
That feel good?
Yeah.
Okay. So, this series of questions of, okay, what am I afraid of? We have the expectations of our parents. I don't want to let one of them down in all reality. You want to please both of them.
Yeah.
Right? And you fear failure because you're going to fail one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you fail one of them, then you were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like being wrong?
Mm-mm.
Why?
Rejection.
Mm. Why do you not like rejection?
Because it makes me feel like I'm all by myself.
Why do you not like to be all by yourself, alone?
Because that's when the devil just gets to me the most.
How so?
Lies.
What are the lies?
That I'm nothing.
What else?
That I'll never make it anywhere.
Keep going.
But I'll just keep living life, and just years will go by, and just everything's the same, and I'll just fade. It's tough.
So I want you to go back to the very first time you felt alone and felt like you were nothing and that you wouldn't make it, you would never ever amount to anything. Go way back. Where was it? Who was there?
Who was there?
Mm-hmm.
My two parents. My family.
What happened?
Just change. You know what?
What was the change?
The change was spiritual, but what are you?
What was the first time you felt alone as a young boy?
Probably right after high school.
I know that sounds weird. I said a young boy.
I don't.
Because I think you're fresh out of high school.
I don't know.
Feel alone, like you're nothing, like you can't make it, that you were rejected.
When did I first feel like that?
Mm-hmm.
I guess through sports, whenever I first moved when I was little to a new, totally different place and really wasn't, I didn't get a chance with anything, but that's just through sports, but I don't.
So you moved to a new town?
Yeah.
And didn't feel accepted in the new place?
Yeah.
You felt like you were rejected?
Well, through sports, yeah. I mean, social life was fine, but...
So you felt like you couldn't make it? You're nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Not qualified?
Yeah.
Is that the first time you can remember not feeling like you were qualified, you couldn't make it? And you were rejected.
Yeah.
So rejection is really powerful. It creates a cycle inside of our head. And like you said, all that has to happen is you have to get alone. And when you're alone, that's when you get beat up. Because a seed was planted here that said you weren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
When you carry the belief that you're not good enough, now you fear letting people down. You fear not succeeding. You fear not being accepted into things that you actually want to do. So then you eventually spin your wheels to the place where you beat yourself up and you end up alone, and then it just creates the same cycle all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that to be true?
Mm-hmm.
So the seed was planted that you're not good enough. You're not qualified. Does this show up on here in your life?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what happens. When a seed is planted, it blinds us if it's a lie. And fear covers our eyes. And fear says, you're a failure. So fear likes to tie your hands and bind them with all kinds of lies. No matter what you try, you're not going to make it. You're not qualified. Binds up your feet. So you don't go places. You don't try new things. Your courage is gone. All because of an experience that happens in your life. And in this case, the experience was a new place for this young man. A move. And a rejection away from something that was important to him, which was athletics. I can guarantee you, if we continue to dig back further, there's another place where that shows up again. And we can fast forward. And then pretty soon, all we do is create this reality, blind and bound. Bound by the spirit of fear. Controlled by the fear of being rejected. Controlled by the fear of being wrong. Controlled by the fear of not fitting in, not being accepted, and not qualifying. It just takes a few years before we stop trying. It takes some longer than others, but eventually we just stop trying. And we see everything through the lens of fear. Whenever there's an opportunity, a business opportunity, what if it doesn't work? What if I fail? What if I let the most important people down that I love? What if I pick the wrong wife? What if I pick the wrong school? What if I pick the wrong place to live? What if I pick the wrong friends? So now we live in what ifs, because this thing called fear clouds everything to a place of straight up procrastination and doing nothing with our life. But what changes that? In this case, we followed the fruit. What am I afraid of? Why? When was the first time I felt this way? You go back and you follow the fruit, all right? What's the fruit? Was fear. What am I afraid of? I'm afraid of letting my parents down. Why? Because then I feel like I'm going to be alone and I'm going to be rejected. When was the first time you felt alone and rejected? Bam. Here was the seed that was planted. In this case, the experience was a move. Then here comes the lies. So we live out our life in lies until your eyes get opened and you see what's been controlling you. And once you see what's been controlling you, then you see, oh my gosh, what the frick do I have this on for? Like, really? Yeah, so I asked you a question, yeah, what would really happen? Your parents, like one of them, are not going to love you all of a sudden anymore? No. So then you find that rejection is nothing but a lie. You find that rejection is a controller and a manipulator. You also find that, wow, the fear of being alone, which means you like to put yourself in social environments constantly and not get to know who you really are. Nor be led by the voice who's called you to succeed. Who says, not only are you not nothing, but you are a whole lot of something. Because you are awesomely designed. Not only will you, you know, make it, but you're going to shock yourself at the level of making it. Not only will your parents be proud, no matter which path you choose, your results are going to shock them. They love you, and they want you to succeed, and they know the path of failure, and they know that that's part of the path to success. So once you take the blindfold of the lie of fear off, what do you see? Anything's possible. And there's no reason to be afraid of being alone, because it's when you're alone and you start looking within and looking up, that's where the answers are to making the right choices and being on the right path. You can go back to your seat. So it's your turn. It's your turn. On your list of the fruit in your life, there's experiences that brought you there. So just pick one. Pick one that's from that list that is for you the one that you feel controls you most of the time. And I want you to ask the question, why do I feel this way? When was the first time I can remember feeling this way? And try to go back as far as you can. 100% of your adult personality was formed by the time you were 6 years old. 100% of your adult personality was formed by the time you were 6 years old. So all the seeds and experiences happened between 0 and 6. So between 0 and 6, you've been reliving that pattern ever since. You've been living out those beliefs ever since. So try to go back as far as you possibly can. And if you can't mentally, and you believe in that best success book, there's someone ready and available to help you. So ask the question, show me where this seed was planted. Show me where this seed was planted. And you may get a picture in your head. So again, identify one on this list that you feel is like the one that continues to glare at you and beat you up. Why do I feel this way? When was the first time that I felt this way? Dig deep. There's going to be a name there. You see, even this young man, who did you blame for moving? Your parents moved you, right? Did you blame mom and dad for moving? Yep. So now there's a heart issue against the parents. And now there's distrust towards the parents. And you feel like the parents brought pain into your life. So again, this is blame versus I didn't handle the move very well, and I chose not to talk about how I was feeling, and I chose not to get new knowledge or help from my parents who could have helped me process this issue and this new change in my life. Does that make sense? So we do. We quickly will blame. It was my parents. They moved us. Like, moving is part of life for some people. It is what it is, but we are responsible for our response in it. Does that make sense? We're responsible for the choices we made. We're responsible for the agreements we made. We're responsible for how we live that out. So then it's taken personal responsibility. I didn't handle that very well. I probably could have done it different. Does that make sense? So simple. Who was there? Your parents were there. So in this case, with fear and fear of rejection, right? Fear of being alone. So on your sheet, when you define that was the major one. That's why I had you up here for you. So you would write down your parents' name next to that fruit on your tree because they were there. So you identify who was there, and now we begin the next process, which is this, forgiveness. Forgiveness loosens up that soil that's around that root system. Taking personal responsibility. So there's two to forgive. There's who was there, and then there is the you factor. Because you were involved and you made the agreements and you have chosen to live those things out. We have to stop looking at the who. We have to start taking responsibility for our part and how we decided to respond in that situation. But Danny, I was just a little kid. I know that, which is why you should have grace for yourself and grace for everyone else that was involved, because we are all humans. We're all humans. We all make mistakes. And you have to decide what kind of leader you want to be. One that points the finger or one that takes personal responsibility, releases and blesses and forgives. That's your choice. You know what the lower level of leadership is blame. Blame, not owning your part, but a higher level of leadership is owning your part. If you own it, you can change it. If you don't own it, you can't change it. If you shift ownership to someone else, guess what? You're out of control. But if you own it, you can change it. Okay? So do that with your sheet. And then you're going to make a list. Just like you did at First Steps. So did you identify one? Just one? You could do it with two or three or four or five if you want. Choice is yours. Go ahead and do that now. You should have a name or two. Your name, obviously, because of however which way that you handled the situation as a young person. And two, whoever was there, whoever was a part of the experience itself that maybe you blamed. That they should have helped you. They should have known. Wait a second. They should have been God. They should have been God. That seems to be our expectation on people, is that they should be perfect, that they should be able to read our minds. That's our expectation on people, that they should never, ever say anything in a way that would ever be misunderstood. That seems to be our expectation of people, that they should always know what your feelings are and what your needs are and be able to fill them. That seems to be our expectation of people. And as leaders, those expectations set people up to fail. Set them up to fail. But if you want to help people to succeed and you want to help yourself succeed, you have to be very, very real and authentic with the truth that you are not Jesus Christ and neither are they. So it's how do we handle our mistakes? How do we manage our own feelings and take responsibility for them? So moving into our last and final exercise for this morning is this. Make a list between the list of that you just came up with of who was there when this seed was planted. And if you look at the list of what you were programmed to believe, you will see that there are people's names that are on that list too. There are people that have programmed you to believe certain things about yourself, about life, about money. There's people there. From that list and what you just wrote out, from following the fruit to the root, I want a list of five people that need to be forgiven, that you hold responsible for your feelings. Five people that you have blamed or that felt that they wronged you, that you have held in a place of controlling your emotions. Five people. And then we need a list of five things you need to be forgiven for. And that's an easy list to come up with between the how to be hated and liked by people and the fruit that's on your list. You see, that best success book ever written says confess and be healed. Confess and be healed. And it's ego that does not want to confess. It's ego that doesn't want to take personal responsibility. It's ego that wants to blame. It's ego that wants to resent and be bitter and unforgiving. It's pride. So to grow in your leadership and be able to understand people and to be able to be a safe place for people to grow in, for you to be able to build an organization that is unified together, that is loyal to each other, there has to be a place of intimacy and trust that they know that it is safe to fail. It's safe to learn. It's safe to grow around you versus feeling like it's not safe. And how many of you have been around people that it's not safe to fail? It's not safe to make a mistake. It's not safe to be yourself. You don't want to be that leader. You want to be the leader that lets you be you, that embraces who you are, and doesn't kick you when you're down. So make a list of the five people you need to forgive and make a list of the five things you need to be forgiven for. Go ahead and do that now on a totally separate, different piece of paper because you're going to do something with that piece of paper. Take just a couple minutes to write that list. It's not very long. I mean, it's not very hard because we've been churning it all morning. Okay, we're going to get into groups of two. So you just need to grab a partner. Please grab a partner, the person right next to you. It's perfect. Grab their hand and wait for further instructions. Everyone needs a partner. Who doesn't have a partner, please stand up. Awesome. If you're standing, go to someone else who's standing. It's really simple. Everyone needs a partner. So if you don't have a partner, you got to stand up and we'll find somebody, even if we pull someone from our team.
Okay, awesome. And here's what you're going to do. One person, you don't have a partner? So one person is A, raise your hand. Person B, raise your hand. Person A, raise your hand. Smell your armpit. Did I put my deodorant on? Awesome, good job. Okay, all right, so person A, you raise your hand at me, wave, hi. Okay, here's your instructions. What you're going to do is you are going to have the opportunity to not treat the person, I shouldn't say it that way. The person next to you, person B, is basically just a plant that is sitting there to be the person that you are forgiving. So they are going to be your mom, they're going to be your dad, they're going to be your uncle, they're going to be your boss. Do you understand? The five people that you need to forgive, they are going to be those five people, okay? That's what they're there representing. And you are going to say, I choose to forgive you, Bob, even if it's Sue. I choose to forgive you, Bob, for, and say what happened. This is not a big, long history thing because you're going to have 5 minutes to go through five people, so it's 1 minute per person that you're going to forgive. I forgive you for you stole whatever from me, or it might be like in the case with my most recent finding that I had, that I found out that my biological father suggested to my mother that I was adopted, that my stepdad adopted me, who wasn't even my stepdad at the time. He was just her boyfriend. And my dad paid for the adoption. He offered to pay for it. So my adoption was my father's idea. Okay, so as soon as I found this out, I'm like, what? And it's, I forgive you, Dad, for not even thinking to interview the man that was going to adopt me. I know that my dad, if he had any idea I was being molested, if he had any idea I was being abused, he would have never in a million years suggested that. He just assumed that I was being taken care of. So you're sitting across from somebody, I forgive you, Dad, for giving me up for adoption or beating me or whatever it is that is there, right? And then you say, I chose to feel. Because you're in charge of your feelings. No one makes you feel anything. You're in control of your own feelings. I chose to feel and say how you felt. But right now, I release you. I release you fully. You owe me nothing. It's over. This is done. Period. You owe me nothing, and I bless you. So let's go through that real quick. I forgive you for, you say their name, brief, what happened. I chose to feel, this is you taking ownership. I chose to feel in that case, unwanted, not good enough. I chose to feel like I wasn't important and I didn't matter. I choose right now to release you and to forgive you fully. And you owe me nothing. You owe me nothing. And I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. And then you go to the next person. So pretty simple, right? I forgive you for. I chose to feel. I release it and forgive you right now. You owe me nothing. And I choose to bless you. Okay? So it's by, remember, words are seed. It's by the power of the words that we have built up resentment and bitterness and hardness of heart. And it's through the power of our words that we will break that ground up. Do you understand? That we'll break up the hardness, that will break up the soil that is holding these root systems that do what? Produce the fruit. In my case, the fruit of not being wanted, the fruit of not being important enough, the fruit of not mattering. Do you understand? Not being good enough. That I had that fruit all over my freaking tree. Do you understand? And sometimes it likes to grow again. Seriously, sometimes it likes to grow again. And we'll talk about that tonight.
meaning that there is an enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And there's always new seed that's being planted. And you have to choose to receive that seed or to say, no, thank you, not for me today, right? There's certain chews you choose not to eat, and there's certain things you choose to eat. And so once we dig up this root system, and again, the power of forgiveness helps to loosen up that soil, because bitterness and resentment makes it hard. It makes you hard, makes you hard-headed, makes you hard-hearted, makes you argumentative, makes you fearful. Do you understand? Afraid to take new risks. It ends up in divorce. It ends up with kids that hate you. You end up repeating your past over and over again. And how many of you do not want to do these things? Okay? This is where repeated financial failures come from. It's out of all of this crap down here, down there, below the surface. It's what's beneath the surface that rises its ugly head and produces the bad fruit in your life. So let's go ahead and get that hardness of heart loosened up with the power of forgiveness, and it happens through the power of confession, okay? So I forgive you for, I chose to feel, I release and forgive you right now, and I bless you, okay? So you're going to go through all five. There's going to be a bell that rings. Person B, you are there saying nothing. Do not try to counsel. Don't say, they didn't mean it, I swear. Shut up. You are not a counselor, and you will only provoke anger out of the person. So you're just there to just sit there. You are nothing but a plant at this point. You're going to be Bob. You're going to be Sue. You're going to be Frank. You're going to be whoever. Okay? All right? So there's going to be a bell that rings, and then I'll give you full instructions. Go for it. Person A. Remember, you're not telling a story. You're talking to the person that the hurt was involved. So you're not telling this person a story. You're saying, I forgive you. Do you understand? Go for it. Okay. Now, person A. Shh. Good job. Good job. Person A. It is also your time, because look, hurt people hurt other people. So now it's your confession time of the five things that you need forgiveness for. So let me walk you through that. So that person that is sitting with you, they may represent some of the people you've hurt out of your hurt. As leaders, we have got to walk ourselves into the places where we can be healed so we can stop hurting the people that are around us that we absolutely don't want to hurt. So now it's time to confess. You're going to have 5 minutes to go through each one of the things, and you are simply just going to say, I choose to forgive myself and to release myself from. And you say what it is. Is it bitterness? Is it that you stole something, you hurt someone, you cheated, whatever. Whatever the five things that you wrote from the list that we've been compiling this morning. I choose to forgive myself for. I release myself. And you say what those things are. So on each one of them is that I forgive and I release myself for. I chose to feel this way and I've carried this for so long. Go to the second one. I choose to forgive myself for. You have 5 minutes. Go. And remember, you're not telling a story. You're taking responsibility here. Do you understand? You're not telling a story. I screwed this up. You're taking ownership of what you are forgiving yourself for. Okay, person B, it's your turn. Person B, shh. Again, listen, I cannot tell you how powerful it is when somebody can do these two things. And these are two things that I've had to practice for my entire business career. It's the times where I refuse to own my own crap. It's the times where I wanted to deflect it onto other people. is when I've had the biggest failures of my life. But it is when I've owned my own crap and I am not afraid to confess it before anybody. We live in a world today where leaders hide, therefore they're not leaders. The earth is crying out for real leadership today instead of people that spin and deflect and hide. And they try to be something that they're not instead of being authentic. And that when they do screw up, and by the way, when you as a parent screw up with your child, it is, please forgive me. It is in the hard conversations where trust and intimacy is built. It is not built through the good times. It is built through the hard times. And if our egos are so big that we cannot take personal responsibility for our own lack, for our weaknesses, for our failures, we're nothing. So this right here is getting your mouth in the place of, okay, it takes courage to do what we're doing right now, to confess whether you know the person or you don't. But the better you get at owning it and asking for forgiveness and creating an environment where people can share how they feel, they can share their opinions, this is how you raise up other leaders. When people are shut down, they are afraid and they don't do the things that they need to do. But when you create that environment through what? Your example, you being the first one to say, I've screwed up here and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It was wrong. When you do that, this is how you rise. This is how you rise. I don't care what profession you have. You're dealing with people. People screw up. You will screw up. The better and faster you get at this skill set right here, the faster you're going to rise up. Not only that, you'll stop living in a facade. And you will stop living in fear. The fear of being found out. The fear of not measuring up. Do you know what the fear of measuring up produces? You trying to be perfect all the time. That's what that produces. Do you know what that produces? Depression. Depression gets birthed out of trying to meet people's perfected expectations. And your own perfected expectations. So forgiveness has got to be a practice. The forgiveness of others, and honestly, the biggest, the forgiveness of yourself. I have lived the life of being tormented because of something I would not forgive myself for. Torment and anxiety, and guess what comes out of that? Anger and fits of rage. Where you are out of control. You can bury yourself with the torment of guilt and shame because of something you will not forgive, whether it's you or it's someone else. So create a culture as a leader, the leader of a family if you're a mom or a dad, the leader of a business or a leader in your job. Create a culture of authentic leadership by being real and confessing your wrongs quickly. It is so unpracticed that I know many of you can feel the wall coming up when it comes time to say what you've done wrong. That is nothing but ego and pride and arrogance. That's all that is. Like, what will they think of me? Who gives a rip what they think of you? Confess and be healed. Confess and be healed. Confess and be healed. If you don't confess, there's no integrity. You're trying to be a god and you are not one. So humble yourself and confess, because it's in that place where freedom is birthed. Amen. Freedom to be you, freedom to be authentically you, freedom to lead without the expectation of never failing. Guess what? I know I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to fail. I know I'm going to let every person down in this place. I know I already have this morning. I know I'm going to fail my kids. I know I'm going to let them down. It is what it is. I know how to fix it when I screw up. I know how to go and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Yeah. It helps me not to screw up as much, I promise you. That if you have to go and confess and it's your practice to live authentically like that, you tend to screw up less. Yeah. And less and less and less. And how many of you look forward to that day? Yeah. Okay. So person B, it is your turn. Person A, please do not give advice. Please don't talk. Please just listen. You can rub a back if you feel like that's something that they want, but don't talk to them. And remember, this is not story time. This is own it time. Do you understand? This is own it time. Quit telling the story of what happened. And just say, I choose to forgive and release you, Sally, of this. I chose to feel this. Do you understand? Let's get out of the clouds with the story and let's come home of your part of, and the ownership of it. Go for it. 5 minutes. Use the whole 5 minutes. Okay, now it's time to confess what you are forgiving yourself for. This one's really fun. Let's see if you can do it. Go for it. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it to myself. Refuse to be mentored by your past. Refuse to be mentored by your past. Refuse to be mentored by your past. Refuse to be mentored by the labels in which you have chosen to wear. You are a new creature. And today is a new beginning. And there is a new life ahead of you and me. And everything we've talked about this morning is just the beginning of you looking back so that you can decide, who do I want to be moving forward? I am not defined by my past, and neither are you. And your past and my past is not our mentor. So what I want you to do now is I want you to make a declaration with each other. Because some of you, not all of you, but some of you had the courage to bare your soul, to be real, and to be honest with yourself. That's really what it was about, was being honest with you. It's amazing how our egos can stop us from true success because we're afraid of man. And there's only one reason why we're afraid of man, and it's because our past is mentoring us. The only reason why we're afraid of failure is because our past is mentoring us. The only reason why we'd be afraid of rejection is because our past is mentoring us. It's all the things from the past that you allow into today. The fears are not of the future. The fears are repeating the past. So everything we've talked about this morning, your beliefs, where they've come from, how you've been programmed, what's the fruit on my tree, following the fruit to the root system, loosening that up with forgiveness and confession. For those of you who did it, I commend you. Let this be a practice of your life because it's the only thing that brings breakthrough into a new beginning. It's impossible for a new beginning if there is not forgiveness. It's impossible not to be mentored by your past unless there is forgiveness. So you've confessed some pretty deep stuff with each other. Some of you went real deep. Some of you had a lot of courage to just, boom, say it. I heard some of you owning your own stuff, owning it about how you felt and your responsibility in it. I'm so proud of you for doing that. But now what you're going to do is you're going to make a commitment, a covenant with each other because you shared things with each other. And this is your covenant. You're going to say, person A, you're going first. You're going to say, everything you shared with me, I make a covenant with you now, will never leave my lips because I know that I will reap what I sow. Everything you shared with me, I make a covenant with you now, will never leave my lips because I know I will reap what I sow. Person A, confess that to person B, and then person B, confess that to person A. Go for it. Okay. Now you have a homework assignment. Throughout these next 3 days, you're going to be learning some very powerful new skills. This morning was about your emotional health, your emotional skills, of which most of us have never been taught. We've not been taught to be strong emotionally. We have just lived in a society that has weakened us in that way. You learned some skills about identifying your beliefs, where your fears are coming from, where your inadequacies are rooted in. What I want you to do at lunch is you're going to write down 5 things that you need to change. 5 things you need to change. What I would like for you to use is your list of beliefs that are not helpful and beneficial, the ones that you circled. So, for example, my belief about people that they're not trustworthy, that they betray, they lie, cheat, and steal. Now, when you take that sheet of your beliefs, remember the sheet that you had, what you were programmed to believe? Turn that sheet over at lunch. And I want you to write what you choose to believe. Do you understand? What you choose to believe. Why? This is the beginning of rewriting your future. Because as it is today, you've been just repeating your past. But from this day forward, it is going to be writing your future. It's going to be designing the life you choose to live. I'm talking about the life you live in your head, because that's where you live. Do you understand that? Your mind is your home. Your mind is your home. And many of you have allowed people to come in and vandalize your mind. So if your mind is your home, we've been cleaning it up this morning. Okay, this last exercise especially. But now it's time to decorate it. Now it's time to set up in it the way you want to live. So I choose to believe and go through that list. Okay, it'll be very, very simple and very quick to do. 5 things that you need to change. Those are going to come from that list. 5 things. So for me, it was, I choose to believe in people. I choose to be a champion for them and their future. I choose to be there when they fall so I can lift them up instead of kick them when they're down. I choose to bring healing and restoration and redemption to people instead of criticism and condemnation. I choose to lift them up instead of tear them down. I choose to believe in them when other people will not. That was my choice. And that will continue to be my choice. Am I still going to get hurt? Yes, but far less if I choose to believe the best in people. If I choose to believe that they're all not trustworthy and to believe the old beliefs, guess what I have? I have multiplied the amount of people that will screw me, betray me, lie, cheat, and steal. Do you understand? So you have the power to choose what you are going to believe and to build on those beliefs. And it starts right now, okay? So take the list of program, you flip it over. It has all the same list is there. You're going to write down, I choose to believe. Out of that, you've got 5 things, just 5, that you're going to change. You're going to write down why you need to change them, okay? It's 1 why for each one. And then you write down 1 solution for each one. This is a process of you learning the skill to identify a problem, to identify a limiting belief, why you need to change it, and creating your own solution. You're going to find that you got a very powerful mind. That's what you're going to find. You're going to find that you know exactly what to do. You know exactly why you need to do it. That's what you're going to find. You are going to leave these 3 days knowing exactly that you are in the driver's seat, knowing exactly the tools that you need to build the future that you desire to have. No longer being a victim of circumstance. No longer being somebody that is waiting for someone else to change. But you change you, everything else around you changes. And the you changing you part started at 9 a.m. this morning. That's where it started, at 9 a.m. this morning, okay? So go to lunch. You have an hour and a half. I'll see you back here at 2 o'clock. Be back here at 2. By the way, go alone. Don't go with anyone. This is you time. This is you time. This is you redesigning your belief system. Go for it.